I think that was one of the things that blessed me this year. The testimonies, people getting involved in the meetings. I always enjoy that. And I see that we're all so different, aren't we? You know, over the years working with people, you find out that people are just a strange combination of, I don't know what. Some of the people that love the Lord the most are the ones that make life so difficult for you sometimes. And I've noticed that there are people in churches that we come in contact with who really love God. They really do. And when they testify, they mean it. When they talk about their love for Jesus, it's very sincere. Sometimes they cry, very heartfelt. But then I find that there are things sometimes in their lives that drive other people crazy and are very annoying and difficult to deal with. And sometimes you wonder, why don't they see that? I guess your first thought is, oh, that's just being hypocritical. They talk about loving the Lord, but they sure aren't acting like it. But I found that's not always the case. I found that their love for God is very real, but that they have some very real blind spots that the Lord has to work on yet. You know, we see things in other people so easily, but we don't always see those things in ourselves so easily, do we? Sometimes I'll have people complain to me. This one comes to complain about that one, and then that one comes to complain about this one. And sometimes the thing that someone's complaining about, the way they're dealing with it is a lot worse than what they're complaining about. Jesus spoke about the mote and the beam. And I was reading the book Calvary Road many years ago. And he said, the beam in your own eye is often your reaction to your brother's mote. That speck in your brother's eye, the way you react to it, is worse and much bigger, as far as God is concerned, than the speck that you're all troubled about. Jesus asked the question one time. He said, why do you behold the speck in your brother's eye? And I remember stopping. I know the question went on to say, and do not behold the beam in your own. But the question, why do you behold the speck in your brother's eye? Why do you concentrate on what's wrong with somebody else? Why do you spend so much time focusing on that, talking about it, making a big deal over it, getting all troubled about it? Sometimes when people come to me and they're all troubled about what someone's doing, I'm wondering why it's bothering them so much. Forget about what the person's doing. Why are you so bent out of shape about this? How does this affect you? What does it have to do with you? And you find that sometimes that overreaction is because there's something in us that God is trying to get at. Something in us that's just not right. Maybe it's a pride. Sometimes people are jealous of other people, and so they come and they're all bent out of shape about this person, and really there's a jealousy there. That's not always the case, but sometimes it is. Sometimes it's a matter of pride. They're getting the credit for something and I'm not getting the credit. They're being praised for something and I'm being overlooked. And so that bothers me. It's a matter of my pride. And so I just tell you this so that you can pray about it. And it's amazing what prayer meetings we would have if everybody that was told something to pray about actually prayed about it, right? But we use that expression as sort of as a cover-up and sort of to ease our conscience a little bit. But really the main thing is we just want you to know the fault and the failure of someone else so that we can look a little bit better in your eyes than they. And I know that there's the right way. The Bible certainly talks about that. There's the right way to deal with problems in people's lives. There are times to go to your brother, to humble yourself, and to speak the truth in love. And do we talk about things because we really want to help that person, that's speaking the truth in love. I'm telling you this because I love you and I want to help you get past this thing. And so there is a right way and there's a wrong way. You could have the right cause and you could have the wrong spirit. And we learn these lessons, as we heard, when we rub shoulders and we go through these trials with one another. And I was so glad for the testimonies tonight that that there were a number here that saw that some of the difficulties that they went through at camp was God's way of getting something at in their life, getting at something in their life. It was an opportunity to grow in God, an opportunity to reach out for more of the love of Christ, opportunity to be patient, understanding, and so on. You know, we all have trouble with authority. There's something in us we don't like to bow. I had mentioned many years ago when I first came to the Ridgewood Church, Tommy and Christine was not part of this problem, just so you know. But I was new to the Ridgewood Church. Brother Eddie asked me, I guess through his father or with his father, they asked me if I would come, move from Virginia to New York, and help in the church there. And every indication was that I should, as I looked to God. And I got up there, and these young people, they didn't know me from Adam. Now I'm supposed to be in charge of them, right? Okay, here's a bunch of young people. Lead them. Okay, well, good luck. So there was really a nice group of young people, and I used to, one of my jobs was to pick them up in the van. And I would go for Sunday school to this one, to that one, for youth group. I'd get in the van, I'd drive to Ridgewood, pick them up, bring them over to the faith home. We'd have worship, and then I'd take them back home. And I, when I picked them up in the van, I had so much fun with them. We really did a lot of fun things. My dad taught me that you could drive the car with your eyes closed, so I figured I would do that too. So I'd close my right eye, and I'd pretend that my left eye was closed, but it wasn't. And I, you know, and they'd all scream, you know, and then I'd open my eye, and I thought that probably wasn't a good thing. They're probably going home and telling their parents, Brother Kenny can drive with his eyes closed, and my career in Ridgewood would be short-lived. So I had to give up the secret. But we had a lot of fun in the van. We'd laugh, we'd talk, I'd get to know them. But with some of them, as soon as I said, okay, sit down, stop talking now, and stop passing that note, oh, man, I felt like I was their enemy. There was a hardness, there was a resistance. And then when meeting was over, we got back into the van, they were my best friend again. And I thought, this is really strange. And I began to realize it wasn't that they didn't like me or had a problem with me personally, but some of them had a problem submitting to authority. I was okay as long as I laughed and joked and picked them up and we drove here and there. But as soon as I was in charge and had to tell them, sit down, stop that, and let's do this, there was something that rose up in some of them. And I imagine that their parents had the same problem with that. And I'm imagining maybe in school they had the same problem with that, the teachers. You know, it was something in them that did not like to be told what to do, did not like to be corrected, and just resisted that thing when it came. They couldn't help it. I don't think that they were even choosing to say, well, I don't like what Brother Kenny's telling me, I don't like what anybody tells me to do, so I'm going to, you know, dig in my heels. But I think it was just something that rose up in them. And I realized that a lot of us have that problem. And that's something that God has to get out of us. God, if we cannot submit to one another in the love of God, how can we submit to the Lord Himself? You know, that's very clear. The Bible indicates to us that our relationships with one another reveal to us the condition of our heart and ultimately our relationship with God. If I can't submit to the authority of others over me, then don't fool yourself. You're not submitting to God the way He wants you to as Lord of your life. In BJ's, I got a lot of BJ stories. They keep coming. Jesus, B for Jesus. That's what BJ stands for. My bosses are much younger than me. Some of them, I could be their father. I've got a manager, Jeffrey, and another manager. And there, I was the person that trained me to do my job, Mo. He called me Ted. I said, my name is Ken. He said, I know, but Ted's okay, right? I never was asked that question. I said, yeah, okay, Ted's fine. Of course, he called me Ted. Anyway, Muhammad, or Mo, he was much younger than me. As a matter of fact, when I worked in King Cullen in the freezer, he wasn't even born yet. And so I could actually say to him, I was doing this before you were born. I mean, it wasn't just an expression. It was true. I was doing this stuff before he was born. I don't think I ever told him that. Maybe I did. I don't know. But he had to tell me the right way to do things, the wrong way to do things. He had a way of doing things that I thought was wrong, but it was his way, and he was my boss. And so, okay, Mo, we'll go your way. And, you know, that was good for me. I was much older than them, but they were in charge of me, and that's the position I was put in. Now, could I submit to them? Could I work with them? And I found that, you know, serving Jesus really helped along those lines. Learning to come under His lordship, learning to obey Him and follow Him and to take His correction, that's good for every part of life. And so I don't think I was hard to get along with Mo. I think I did my best to cooperate with him. Now he moved on to greener pastures and left me in the cooler. And now I really have not too many people over me. I'm kind of my own boss there, but I do have these ones that check up on me once in a while and tell me what to do. And I notice many of the young people, they have a hard time. They have a hard time with that. I hear the complaints. You know, they walk around and they're using their radios, they got their earplugs in, and often you see them on the phone texting while they're supposed to be working on the job. And I think, what in the world? How are they getting their job done, and how are they keeping their job? Lily came the other day because I left my cutter at home, and I was checking my text to see if she was in the parking lot, and my boss walked by, and I was like, whew, stuck it in my pocket. And I went over to him later and said, you know, sorry, I was on my phone, but my wife was bringing my cutter, and, well, did you get it? Yeah. Okay, good. Back to work. And I find that, you know, our attitude is very different than the attitude of some. Then there are others that are always complaining. Oh, they want me to do this. I didn't sign up for that. That's not part of my job, or that's not what I expected. You know, I'm so happy that when I needed a job at 58 years old, I was 57, that they were willing to hire me for a bit. I was willing to do whatever they wanted. And you know, my boss said, can you work on Sunday? No, I can't work on Sunday. Well, this Saturday, can you come in? Well, I said, listen, Chris, I'm working for you. You're not working for me. So really, whatever you say, if I can do it, I'll do it, you know. But this Saturday is going to be tough. Okay, don't worry about this Saturday. And, you know, we just find that when we serve the Lord, when we seek Jesus, when we really want Him to be Lord of our life, He's going to teach us some very valuable lessons that have to do, first of all, with coming down and submitting to His lordship. And He's going to use people to get something out of us that keeps us from serving Him with all our hearts. and we might not even see the connection. What does obeying my boss have to do with serving Jesus? Well, if I can't submit to his authority and I can't take his correction, then I just can't take correction. I can't submit to authority. It's that simple. And so God will use these things to make us look into our hearts and say, Lord, I didn't realize that was still in me. How can I say that I love God whom I can't see if I can't love my brother whom I can see? These things, you can't separate them. We try to. That's what religion does. Religion says, I can have a relationship with God and a different relationship with people. I can live one way as a religious person, and I can live another way as a secular person. I've got a religious part of my life and a secular part of my life. But God doesn't see you as a dichotomy. He doesn't see you in two halves. We're one whole. And either we're submitting to Jesus and those around us, or we're not. Either we're loving Jesus and letting that love flow to others, or we're not. And the sooner we learn that, the better off we're going to be. And so, as we heard tonight, God's teaching us lessons here at camp. God's teaching us lessons on our job or wherever in our church. Not everybody gets along in church. Sometimes there's jealousies and pride and envy and strife and all these things. I came up with a good illustration. I thought nobody else thought it was good, but I liked it. I read about Samson and how he took those foxes and he tied a torch to two of their tails, two foxes, tied a torch and let them go. And I said, one fox was named Envy and the other was named Strife, and that lit a fire and spread throughout the whole church. That's what happens. Envy and strife, James says, it creates such a problem in the church of Jesus Christ. And God's got to get at those things in us if he's going to come back for a glorious church without spot or wrinkle or any such thing. And somebody mentioned Sister Vita this morning, Jennifer, and Sister Janet. Sister Janet was in our church one time and visiting missionary. And she said, the Lord is coming back for a church without spot or wrinkle or any such thing. And she said, you know, we ladies know that in order to get out spots, you got to really rub hard. You got to scrub those spots out. And sometimes God will cause people to rub you the wrong way. But that's the way to get the spots out. And to get rid of the wrinkles, you got to turn up the heat. And sometimes God will send you through very hot trials. But God is trying to get those wrinkles out of your life. He's coming back for a church without spot or without wrinkle or anything like that. And so we realize these problems that I'm having with people, they're not just personality problems, but they're God's tools to perfect and shape and mold my life to be a better vessel for him. Was it Brother Wanamaker, I think. We have his picture up there, and I remember seeing him at camp. And he told how he was working under a certain minister, and he was asked to do a certain job. And he could never do it right. The minister said, no, that's wrong. You got to start over and do it all over again. And he said, oh, there was something in him that, man, felt a resistance and a rising up, and so he did it again. And the Lord showed him, you're going to keep doing it until that thing is out of you. And so he began to repent and say, Lord, get that thing out of me. Get that rising up out of me, and help me to just do whatever I'm supposed to do for as unto the Lord with all my heart. And as he did, then God came to him and things changed wonderfully. And so that's all I really wanted to say tonight. It was your testimonies that directed me that way. And Does that mean that you're supposed to let everybody just agree? You know, they're right and I'm wrong all the time. They must be right and I'm wrong. God's trying to teach me a terrible lesson, or a good lesson. I don't know that that's what our attitude should be. Some people are really mean. They're just born mean. and you can recognize that. What they're saying is not right. What the way they're acting is wrong. But God, how am I responding? I can't help how they act. All I can help is how I respond. And Lord, I want my response to be pleasing to you. I want it to be what you would have it to be. And so we can teach one another lessons, the easy way and the hard way. But if you really have a heart for God and you really want to serve Him and you really want to be used for His glory, then you're gonna say, Lord, teach me. And you're going to be willing to learn from the most unlikely people. You'll find that God will use them to help purify your heart and purify your life. And they may get meaner and meaner as their life goes on. Well, that's between them and God. But you can get sweeter and sweeter as the years go by, just like Jesus. Praise God. And so, I guess that's enough. There's a song I like to sing. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit in me. And maybe that would be a good prayer to take up from Psalm 51. Create in me a clean heart, renew a right spirit within me.
Let's sing that together.
Can you keep us that number? Is that a G?
Create in me a clean heart.
I think it's good that we realize we need one another. We need one another. We need to learn from one another. We need to encourage one another. That we help one another to be what Jesus wants us to be. And so let's grab the hand of the person on the side of you. Okay?
If I grab your hand, you can't play.
That's right. Grab my mother. All right. And let's sing that song one more time. And let's really open our hearts to the Lord in these last few moments together. And let the Holy Spirit just do something very real for us. And some of these lessons that we've been talking about, if we'll take them home and keep learning, keep learning, keep growing in grace, we'll one day we'll be thankful. We'll look back and thank God for all that He has taught us. And we'll lose sight of the people that gave us problem, and we'll see Jesus and thank Him for all that He's done. One more time, okay?
Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Thank you.
to the Lord, and we'll sing it one more time, and then we'll change the order of our service. Oh, hallelujah. Prayers yet before we dismiss. Hallelujah. Anybody? Jesus.
Dear Jesus, I pray that you would bless us all as we prepare to leave tomorrow, and those that are staying, I pray that you would bless them and give them strength to be able to work on for you. I pray that you would help us to serve you and not ourselves in these days, and to serve others instead of our own desires. I pray that for all of us, dear Jesus. Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah. Praise God. Thank you, Savior. Come, someone else.
Dear Father, we thank you that in heaven, everyone is happy to live together. Everyone is happy to be patient with one another and kind, and they just love each other. And it's not because they've been magically transformed in themselves, but because they see you. Well, Lord, let us see you.
Yes, Lord.
Draw very near to us, Lord. Not just at camp, but in all our relationships, and all our troubles, and all our difficulties with other people. Draw near, Lord. And let us love them as you love. Lord, we thank you that love is a fruit of the Spirit. And so, Lord, pour out that fruit. Come and cultivate that fruit in the depths of our heart, Lord. Let it grow up, Lord, and please you. Lord, let us love one another as we ought to.
Amen.
Bye.
Sweet Holy Spirit,
that would like to pray about these things that we've heard. Give God the response that he's looking for. Ask the Holy Spirit to put it into your heart. Hallelujah. Those that need to go rest and prepare for tomorrow, God bless you.